bonus episode time. Here we go. We're talking about Gone Girl, the movie, not the book.
I haven't read the book.
Because we haven't read the book. I am Chris Crespo, hanging out with Drew Cogburn. Drew, how's it going?
It's going. How's it going, Mr. Crespo?
Doing all right, man. Doing a little bonus episode here for Gone Girl.
Talking about this crazy-ass fucking movie that blew my goddamn mind.
It's a crazy movie, and it helps to be able to talk about details to really get into it. Don't want to spoil stuff on the normal show. Because, I mean, it's opening weekend. People need a chance to see it.
I mean, we have to give people, you know, 2-3 weeks to see this movie. I understand that people, you know, aren't as crazy about movies as we are.
Right. So you got to give them a chance. Maybe people are just busy. They got families and stuff, things to do. What are you going to do? It's life. Life is a thing.
It is. You got to do it.
Life is a thing. You got to do it. They played life.
They did. They did play some life.
Very beginning. Is that a clue? Anyway. So Gone Girl's a crazy movie. And definitely want to talk about it. It's the latest David Fincher. We did a David Fincher bonus episode.
Yeah, we did. Not too long ago, actually.
It was last month, I think.
Something like that.
Chris Budiso Film School bonus episode on David Fincher. Check that one out. At the end, we talked about, obviously, being excited for Gone Girl.
And
it came, and here we go. Now we're here. Now we're on the other side. We've crossed the Gone Girl Rubicon.
Yes, we have.
There's no looking back.
There's no looking back ever again.
Before we get any of that started, ChrisCrespo.com. Please go there. Rate and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher and share with your friends. Hit us up on Twitter at CrespoDiso. I am on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo, and Drew is on there at Antihero419.
Same on Instagram and now Snapchat.
What? Ladies, Snapchat your titties to Drewster Cogburn at Antihero419.
So far, the only...
I got to get on Snapchat.
I just started. I really don't even know how the fuck it works yet. Mm-hmm. Still working on that. Mm-hmm. But like one of the automatic feeds you get is like some weird balloon festival.
Balloon festival.
It's just a bunch of weird pictures of balloons. It's kind of strange.
And then they go away really quick. Right?
Yeah, it's weird.
Is that the whole point?
Yeah, it's kind of
look at the picture and then it disappears?
It's kind of weird.
You have to, like, commit it to memory?
I think so.
Or do a screen grab?
Yeah, or I think there are probably other, you know, assistant applications that can help you save things at this point in time.
I think it's...
Snapchat's been out for a while.
Snapchat's supposed to have some sort of feature where if someone does screen grab whatever you send to save it, it lets you know. Not like it helps you.
I was about to say, okay, so now you know I have this picture.
So now you know
forever
that I took your picture of your nudity, and I'm saving them for the great leak of 2019.
Yeah, I was actually reading an article on Snapchat because I figured
we really know
might as well. Mm-hmm. And apparently, at least according to this article, mm-hmm. I think it was in like Forbes or the Huffington Post, one of the two.
The Post.
Only like 19% or something like that of Snapchat mm-hmm. is actually like the naughty bits.
Well, 20% of it?
Yeah.
That's kind of high. 2 out of 10?
Yeah.
2 out of 10 people are putting their genitals on Snapchat to be seen for seconds at a time.
Mm-hmm. Or other parts of their naked body, yes.
A lot of them porn chickies are on the Snapchat.
Interesting.
Now Drew knows who he's going to start following. there you go. Follow him on that Snapchat. Antihero419?
Of course.
For continuity's sake.
For everything.
Just to keep it easy.
And at this point in time, I'm almost tempted just to find all the weird social media things and just...
You're going to have to get on that Elo.
I put in for a request.
Elo.
For an invitation.
Hey, if you're on Elo and you want to send us some invites, hit us up. And we'll take your invites.
Hey, yeah.
All right. Okay, let's get this bonus shit started here. Let me just go ahead and...
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
Thank you so, Brother Kevin, for introducing the Crespo Dome, as always. He comes here live to do it. People don't know that. He's here every time. Whenever we do Welcome to Crespo, he's here.
Yeah.
With the microphone off this side.
Hanging out in the kitchen.
Hanging out. He does it. And then once he's done, he leaves. He doesn't stick around.
No. Not at all. He normally scowls at Chris on the way out, too, for some reason. I don't know why.
Why are you making me do this? I'm like, bro, I can't. I don't know how to record that. I need you to do it live. So thanks once again to Kevin for doing that live. Here we go. Let's talk about that Gone Girl. Let's start at the beginning and just work our way.
How about we start
forward?
How about we start with the trailer?
It's a good trailer.
It's a good trailer
because the trailer leads you in a direction.
Trailer, yeah.
It makes you think that this entire movie is about, you know,
scrutinizing the husband.
Ben Affleck. You know, yes. Like this whole movie is going to be centered on Ben Affleck. She's either gone or dead. You probably barely see her in the movie.
It's like narration and flashback.
Exactly. And
they have the shot of her in the water, body in the water.
Her body in the water. And after seeing that trailer, the moment with her body in the water, I'm like, man, so she's dead.
Man, they gave that away.
Like, we know she's dead.
Crazy.
And
why would they give that away?
There's all this nonsense. And that is, spoiler, totally not the case.
Oh, yeah, this is a spoiler-filled episode. Did we mention it at the top?
Yeah.
Was that the point of this spoiler episode?
Yeah. So, spoiler, totally not the case. And so I was really angry with the trailer because I thought
it was
giving
away
too much. When, in fact, it was showing very little.
It was actually a very well-made, enticing trailer that didn't give away the movie's secrets, the story's secrets, and there are
quite a few.
Plenty of them. There are plenty of them. So when the movie starts with Ben Affleck goes to his bar where his twin sister works.
Quote-unquote twin sister.
What's it, fraternal?
Probably something like that.
Gotta be fraternal.
Definitely not identical.
No way. No.
No one's got that Batfleck chin.
She didn't have the Batfleck chin. And he's at the bar. That's when they start playing Life.
Yes.
He gets his morning bourbon.
Yep, they start drinking.
And they're playing Life at the bar. And is that the whole theme of the movie? Playing the game of life?
Pretty much. I
mean,
moving
the pieces around.
Dude, for all intents and purposes, yeah. Because, I mean, there's definitely a game being played in this movie.
And some people are good at it and some people are bad at it.
Yeah.
But who's good? Ben? Yeah. Nick Dunn, that's the name of the character. That character is okay at it.
Well,
but he finds out he's not as good at
life. Oh, he's nowhere near as good as he thinks he is.
As he thinks he is, as some other people are. The old game of life. All right, so. He gets home.
Yes.
And there's like shit. You see this in the trailer. The table's to overturn.
Table.
And he's like, Amy? Amy's gone, missing wife. So he calls in the cops.
Yeah. First the neighbor calls him.
Because the cat was outside?
Saying the cat's outside. That's what prompts him to go home.
Yeah, and then the door's open.
And the door's open and the cat's outside.
And he's like, what the fuck's going on here?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's already like weird circumstances.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem too concerned about it. Which is like
kind of which kind of leads you to believe that he's like this grimy douchebag who very might well be guilty
of. He might be behind it.
Yeah.
In some way.
But even so, as the movie progresses, you find that's not the case once again.
Yeah. So it's like they're investigating him. The cops are investigating him, and the first, what is that? First 30 minutes of the movie is the first couple days of. It's a missing person. We're gonna get her. We're gonna have a press conference.
We need to talk to the family.
And,
we need
and then because,
do this, do that.
Because she is the daughter of a famous children's book artist. Yeah. It gets more media scrutiny than normal.
Exactly.
Right?
Websites
and
toll free hotlines,
talking head TV shows.
Yes.
Right. That's a big thing. That's like they had that Nancy Grace type character played by what's her name? Missy Pyle, I think her name is. The one with her eyes are like crazy eyes. Oh, crazy eyes. They had old crazy eyes in there. Old blonde crazy eyes in there. Playing the Nancy Grace type. And you know, there's like key shit going on in there. Like when they're having the press conference, right? And he's standing in front of the missing person poster. And he's standing there for a few good minutes, you know. And they keep cutting to him. He's standing there and he's looking morose. And at one point he leans in and then he smiles.
Like
a second?
Just for that split second because the cameras are on him and he kind of doesn't know what to do.
So then he smiles like, hey, how's it going? And of course, that's what they grab and that's the image they run with. And all of a sudden, these people on TV are diagnosing him as a sociopath
based
on that one picture.
And then there's that random girl who comes up to him and like takes a selfie with him.
Yeah.
And he smiles. And then he realizes what he just did. He's like, that was a bad move on my part.
Yes, that's exactly it, right? There's another chick. She's obviously trying to move in on him.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, let me bring you some food.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noticed when she was talking to him, like she had her phone in her hand. And it looked like the camera was on, like the screen was looking weird.
Uh-huh.
I was like, why is her phone like that? And then all of a sudden she's like, might I get a picture? And then she swooped in real quick and took the picture. I was like, oh, that bitch.
Yeah,
that bitch. And then he's like, can you please delete it, you know, it's a sensitive
situation.
Like, And then she got real mean about it.
And then he got almost real mean about it, too.
He was more understandable because it's like, you know, it's a sensitive time for him. He's like we were saying, media scrutiny is coming. That gets out there on the internet. He knows right away that's going to look bad. Yeah. He knows. And, of course, it goes out there, and it looks bad. And it's like, goddamn, I couldn't. She ninja'd me with the fucking
ninja
photo.
Selfie.
It was ridiculous. Now he's on TV. We're thinking. But were we? Was I ever thinking?
Well, I mean, the entire time, you know, there's this inner dialogue between him and his sister. You know, about, you know, the inner workings of their marriage, how it really was.
We're getting his side of the truth when he's talking to his sister. Yeah. But even then, he wasn't giving her the full truth.
Well, no.
Because he was hiding his little side piece.
Yeah, his little 21-year-old student, because he's a teacher.
Okay, now when did you realize that was going on?
I figured it was going on the entire time.
I didn't realize that was going on until she burst through the door. And I was like, oh, he's got a side bitch, of course.
I kind of figured he probably did.
And I'm sure this was by design, but like in the beginning, during like the press conference and stuff, or during the volunteer center, he keeps getting like a phone calls.
Yeah,
and
all
texts,
these weird texts.
And he's like
and
ignoring
like,
them.
Well, no, exactly. And I'm figuring,
and
I'm
then
like,
he's trying to make a phone call. He's like, why won't you answer your phone?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I was figuring it's either A, his side bitch, or B, the people he hired to kill his wife.
Yeah, I never thought side bitch. Like, so maybe he has to be involved.
I was like, it's one of the two.
He's like, he's got to be involved somehow because someone's trying to contact him, right? This is bad. This is crazy. Yeah. And then it turns out it's her. I was like, oh, okay, it's Titties McGee.
Really nice Titties McGee,
really,
too.
Yeah, really nice Titties McGee, yeah. And so I was like, oh, man. But the secrets. It's all about the secrets coming out.
Yeah.
Right? You know, at that point, it's pretty.
And then the secrets start coming out, Chris.
And after that point, it starts ramping up in terms of, like,
there's the
holy shittedness.
Well, there's the whole procedural part, too, during that, you know, where the cops are going around and they're interviewing people.
They're getting the clues.
And they're getting the clues. And there's that whole, you know, their clue game that they were playing.
For their anniversary scavenger hunt thing that she liked to do.
Exactly, which worked into the other clues.
It was interesting watching,
you know,
the blood splatters
and, you know, that they, you know, they blacklight the scene and see that there's a lot of blood and they all got mopped up.
You're like, oh, this is interesting. What's this about?
Yeah.
It was interesting to watch the case start being built around this dude as he's like in the middle. He's like trying to help. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this. I don't know that. All these things are cropping up. That he has no idea
the
about.
The best friend.
Yeah, the best friend. He's like,
the
I don't know what
unquote
she had about.
Pregnancy.
Yes. And then he's. Like, all of a sudden, he finds himself, like, he's prime suspect number one.
Well, yeah, and then they straight up arrest him.
At what point did they arrest him? They had the club, when they found the murder weapon. The, quote, murder weapon, even though they didn't have a body. She was really insistent about having a body.
Exactly.
But then they were fine enough with just having a club with blood on it.
Yeah, and she was a little weirded out about the, the cop lady was a little weirded out about the diary as well. She was like, you know, some of this is kind of weird.
Yeah.
She
figured how things were looking kind of staged in a weird way. Some things didn't add up.
And some things were a little too convenient as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's like the first
third of the movie.
First 45 minutes to an hour of the movie.
Yeah, and then he gets arrested. And then, boom, it goes back to day one gone. And she's driving a fucking car.
Yeah, she's driving away.
And she is totally not dead.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
And now all of a sudden we get story two of Gone Girl. We get the her side of the story.
Yeah. The setup. Like, oh, and it's a detail. Like, I did this, I did that.
We get a crazy voiceover about it. She sets up her fucking husband for her own murder and damn near gets away with
it. Yeah, and then he realizes it. He's like, oh, that bitch. And then they gotta, like, figure out how we gonna get out of this.
Yeah.
That's how you know it was dastardly, when, like, they knew what was happening, and they still
couldn't
go to the cops and be like, here's what's going on. Because there were too many things that had already gone wrong by that point. Yeah. Too many secrets had been uncovered.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, now what, you're making all this shit up, too?
Yeah, well, and the PR battle had already been lost at that point.
The PR battle, which brings us to the character of Tanner Bolt, the lawyer, the high-profile, high-priced defense lawyer, Tanner Bolt.
Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry is Tanner Bolt. I would see Tyler Perry as Tanner Bolt.
Tyler Perry's Tyler Bolt Made a Christmas.
Tyler Bolt Made a Christmas. Tyler Perry played the Johnny Cochran type.
Yeah.
And he was good.
He was. He was very convincing.
He was very good. I mean, he's very convincing in that role. Exactly. That's the word I would use. And and I enjoyed them quite a bit. You know, I read interview, New York Magazine, August 2014 issue, Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
He was talking about agreeing to do this movie. His agent pitched him the movie and the role. And he, I don't know if he read the script or what, but he agreed to do it, signed on the dotted line. Then afterwards, he was informed that the book is very popular. It's not just some like a little book. It's a very, very popular thing. And it's being directed by this guy, David Fincher. And he was like, and Tyler Perry was like, who's David Fincher? Like,
really?
Yeah, yeah. One of the most highest paid people in Hollywood was like, who's David Fincher? And he said, oh, David Fincher's the guy who directed this and this and this and this. And then Tyler Perry was like, shit. If I had known it was such a popular book and David Fincher was this guy with this body of work, I would not have agreed to do this movie because it was like too much.
Yeah.
It was too big for him. But,
he did it, and it worked, bro.
But they tricked him. They tricked him. His agent tricked him and got him in there. That's exactly why his agent didn't tell him all these details ahead of time. Got him in the movie. Ended up being great.
Yeah.
So, good for you, Tyler Perry. Way better than that Alex Cross movie.
Oh, yeah.
That was not good. That was not good. So, media scrutiny, playing the PR game. That's all fascinating stuff. Because we can see that, like, you know, Casey Anthony, O.J. Simpson. That all plays into, we've seen it unfold before our eyes. And now we're seeing it from like the other side, sort of. Yeah. Even though, you know, it's a made up, slightly satirized version. But it's still, you know, pretty realistic in terms of how those things unfold in the media and on TV. And, you know, the public loves them. Then they hate them. And then they love them. And then they hate them.
Yeah. And they love them.
Depending on all the little bits that the media throws out there. You know, the controlled narrative. And, that was all really, really intense. And then... And she's alive this whole time, too. So now we keep cutting back to her, and she's, like, on the run,
she's on the run. She's dying her hair. Money. She's got a whole bunch of cash. She's hiding out in low places. And then, you know, tragedy strikes her. You know, she befriends some dirtbags.
The wrong people.
And they fucking rob her ass.
Yep, when they find out she's got some money.
Exactly. And then she turns to... stalker ex-boyfriend.
And then at this point, we're finding out more about her exes.
About her past.
Her past, which involves...
allegations of rape.
Framing at least one guy for rape.
Yeah.
That's what he says. But at this point, considering what she's doing to Ben Affleck's character...
We believe it.
And,
It's Scoot! It's Scoot!
It's Scoot McNairy! That guy, man, he's popping up in all these great little movies. You know, very chameleon-like, too. He's a very good actor, this guy's turned out to be. Killing Them Softly, and he's gonna be in the Batman v Superman : Dawn of Justice. So good old Scoot. So he's in it, and he's like, she framed me for rape, and then this other guy, there's this allegations of him like being in a mental institution and wanting to commit suicide, him being a little crazy.
Well,
but then maybe he was a little crazy.
Well, he was, but he was. It looked like whatever relationship that he and her had
back in boarding school.
Yeah, back in boarding
school,
she was definitely the one wearing the pants.
Oh yeah, she was controlling him.
Even he commented how he was under her thumb or quote unquote on her leash.
Yeah, he was very self aware of that.
Yeah,
I guess after the fact.
And even so, he came fucking for all intents and purposes crawling back.
Oh yeah, he did. Oh yeah, he wanted that. He wanted them to tie ease again. Mm-hmm. 20 years later, so she's robbed. She's cashless. She's on the run. She's trying to pretend she's dead.
And then she starts playing.
She runs to him, and she plays Neil Patrick Harris, who's great in the movie because he's a talented as fuck motherfucker. That guy, so he's totally playing her, playing him, and he's like some of the shit he says is really funny. It's like when he's like, "Here, I got you some decent clothes. Here's some hair dye. There's a gym above the pool. Go get yourself like looking like you again." Because after she goes on the run, she keeps eating. She's like chips and Cheetos and soda, constantly eating, which is very, very funny. And he's like, "Oh, go get yourself fit again." So he's a complete douchebag and a little delusional.
Well, but that works on her part. I mean,
she totally used it
because now she's using him.
Yep.
As the patsy.
Yep. She totally patsy.
Because
patsy
she, you know, her whole plan was she's going to get out. She's going to get away. Mm. Ben Affleck goes to jail for the murder. And she lives happily ever after.
Yeah. Assume that identity somewhere.
Exactly.
Like
but
with her buddy.
The second she got robbed, she was broke, penniless, and had done all of these things.
But she's got this guy on the hook for years.
Yeah.
He's got money.
Oh, crazy
time
money.
To reel that fish in and use it. Right.
And by reeling the fish in, I mean frame for abuse, torture,
kidnapping,
rape, kidnapping, and then she slits his fucking throat with a box cutter.
Yeah, that was
and literally like covers herself in his blood.
That was
like,
a pretty intense moment.
Covers herself in his blood, like starts almost looks like she's trying to bang him while he's bleeding.
Yeah, she's trying to get as much on her as possible.
Yeah,
for you know, dramatic purposes, mm-hmm. so she can come crawling back to everyone. So yeah, she frames him for rape. Remember, cuts the throat. So much blood everywhere. When that started and she cut his throat, I was like, yeah, okay, throat cutting. And then the blood started pouring out. And
everywhere.
I was like, holy fuck, that's a lot of blood. And then she kept moving around like she's trying to get more blood on her, and it was all like, over.
Holy
her.
Fuck, that's a lot of blood.
And then when that moment at the end of that scene, and like he's laying on the bed and she's on her knees, and then she's like looking around, and there's just completely covered. Her like white skin is just covered in blood.
And that white satin robe she was wearing.
I remember thinking, I was like, this is a mainstream studio released movie. You know, like a lot of people are sitting down to watch this film, and then they're gonna get hit with this at some point.
Yes.
And then it made me think right away
at
that time.
Oceans of blood.
Yeah. I thought right away of that David Fincher's quote about how his favorite movies are the ones that scar him.
Mm-hmm. You know? That's what he's trying to do.
Yeah, and that's what he's always trying to do with his movies. He's always trying to scar you in one way or another.
He does a good fucking job of it.
Yeah, he does. That's crazy shit. Yesterday, I was going to the theater to see something else, and just on my way in, there's like this older lady in front of me with a cane, I'll say like maybe mid to late 60s, and I noticed when she gave the person the ticket in front of me, and she said like Theater 2. I was like, oh, maybe this person's seen the movie I was seeing. Does that make sense? And I look up like, no, she's going to see Gone Girl.
So
I give the person my ticket, and then I walk up, and I kind of catch up to her because our theater's right next to each other. And I'm like, so you're going to go? Because she's by herself. She's like, you're going to go see Gone Girl? And she looks at me wide-eyed. She's like, oh, yes, I love the book very much.
Oh, man.
And I was like, well.
You have fun with David Fincher's version.
Like, I was like, I saw it last night. It is intense, so I hope you enjoy it. She's like, oh, I'm sure I will. And she happily walked her into that theater. Yeah. I was like, oh, man, I wish
I could have been there to see what she looked like when she came out.
I would love to have talked to her about it. Like, well, so what did you think? Especially since you've read the book. Because we haven't read the book.
No idea what the book's about.
And that's awesome. Because all these twists and all these turns, she's alive. All the framing and everything. All the crazy, crazy reveals. If we had read the book.
Then we would know.
Oh, my God. It's not as fun,
no.
But we didn't. So there's
we got taken on that
there's
journey.
One for not reading. Yeah. Put one in the win column for illiteracy. We'll just watch the stories play out in front of us.
There's going to be very few of those, by the way, in the win column for illiteracy.
Very few in that win column. So that worked out really well. I really want to now read the book because the ending is apparently changed.
Okay.
The book was adapted into a screenplay by the author.
Mm-hmm.
So she changed her own ending, in part because she wanted the people who had read the book to at least have something that was like, oh, that's different. But even then, they have one possibility eliminated then. Because if they know it's different, then they know what happened in the book. Can't happen in the movie.
Yeah.
So what are the other possibilities? You know what I mean?
Well, even still, in that case, they're being taken on the same journey because they don't know they know that something has changed.
Up to a certain point, the ending has changed. Right? I think a lot of things leading up to it are the same. Yeah. So let's get to that ending. Let's get to that. Pretty crazy.
A very long, like half-hour ending. It's like more of a closing act.
It's a prologue. It's a total long prologue, and it's what convinced me that the movie in the end is really a cynical, like looking at marriage as just a cynical joke. You know,
I mean, of sorts. A really fucking sick, twisted, really messed up. Oh, we don't have no Drew Cogburn versus the world. No Drew Cogburn versus the world. Bonus episode. We don't feel it. I don't have to go against the world. That's awesome because I don't feel like I want to do it right now. All right.
I got here to film some David Fincher.
Seriously.
There's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's only someone. This will be real quick. I'll give you two movies. You tell me which one had the bigger opening weekend.
Okay.
Opening weekend bigger. All right, you ready? Seven or The Game?
The Game.
The Game had a $14 million opening weekend. Seven, 13.9. So there you go. Which had a bigger opening weekend? Panic Room or Fight Club?
Panic Room.
Panic Room, $30 million. Fight Club, 11.
Yep.
Which had a bigger opening weekend? The Social Network? Or The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Social Network.
Social Network. 22.4 million. Benjamin Button, 26.8.
Ooh,
so wrong, but close. And finally, which made more opening weekend, Zodiac or The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Dragon Tattoo.
Dragon Tattoo had a $12.7 million opening weekend. Zodiac, 13.3. So there you go. There you go. Gone Girl, biggest opening weekend of all of his movies so far.
We'll get into that. Or we already have gotten into that.
Depending on the order you listen to these episodes.
I don't really know.
If you jump straight to this one, we talk about the numbers in episode 91 of Cinema Crespinista. If you listen to that one first, thank you for listening to that. Welcome.
We already talked to the numbers.
We already talked about the numbers. You know, you already knew that. You knew it was number one movie. Of it. So.
Anyway.
So, yeah, that ending. She comes back, covered in blood. Tells everyone, this old boyfriend kidnapped me,
raped me, tortured me,
imprisoned me.
The whole shebang.
I killed him, got away. I'm back to my loving husband, Nick.
Yeah.
And
he's sitting there going, what the fuck? Because at this point in time, he knows exactly what she's done.
Yep.
He knows he's framed. You know, she's framed him for murder.
Yep, he was already arrested and out on a bail or bond or whatever.
You know, he knows everything now.
Mm-hmm.
And she just comes back.
And she just goes, yeah.
And what choice does he have? He either embraces her and is like, yes, I love you, my loving wife that I've loved.
In public, right?
I did not kill. Because obviously the whole public perception thing.
Yeah.
When behind closed doors, that motherfucker is frightened for his life now, probably.
Yeah, now he is scared.
Now he's the one who's scared for his life. He is fucking freaking out. He's like, oh my God, I married this crazy bitch, and now she's back. What the fuck am I going to do? She killed somebody. She framed two people for rape, two people for murder. She is fucking loco, and I'm married to her.
What's she going to do to me? So he was like, all right, I'll tough it out for a month or two. He was waiting for the news vans were still parked outside their house for like a month after she came home because they're goddamn vultures, the media, right? Yep. So he was like, I need the media to go away so I can leave her.
Yeah.
Before that can happen, there's this whole thing in the beginning about how, not even beginning, throughout the movie, the topic of children comes up. And there's at times when he wanted kids, and there are times when she wanted them. And then finally, you know, they're trying to. It was a whole weird thing about having children to save the marriage, which is, you know, a folly that a lot of people do fall into.
Yep.
And he said at one point he talks about how he went to a fertility clinic and he's good to go, and they saved some of his shit. And then he got a notice saying that if they don't use it soon, they're going to trash him.
So he just assumed that
he gave it to her, and then he found it in the trash later.
So he assumed that his sperm was trash.
He assumed that they got rid of it, and she didn't want to use it, and it was never going to happen.
However,
at the end of the movie, she pops up, hands him a little test strip with a blue plus.
Hey, look, I'm pregnant.
It took me a second to get that. I was like, how did she get that? How did she?
It was the sperm bank.
Oh, she went and used it.
Uh huh.
And now he's going to be a daddy with a psycho lady.
Super crazy psycho lady.
And psycho lady. Somehow, in a follow-up special, because she is a popular person now, she's announcing on TV
that she's pregnant.
So now they're even more entrenched in the media. Now they're becoming like a reality TV couple, and it's really funny that final shot. The final shot is them on the TV. Is that the very final shot, or is there one after that?
I don't remember.
Or did it come back to the back of her head? Remember?
And that's what it came back to.
Get the answers out.
Well, that's how the movie starts, and you're thinking to yourself, wow, what a sick, twisted fuck you are.
Yeah.
That is not something you say. And then at the end of the movie, when he says it all over again, then you understand what the hell he means.
Yeah, that's just the way. It's marriage. It's exactly what marriage ends up being for these people, at least.
Yeah.
Where it's like, they're looking at each other. They don't know what they're thinking. He definitely doesn't know what she is thinking. They would love to. And then that thin line between love and hate, and how extreme love can turn into extreme hate so fast.
Real fast.
And it's dangerous. That's a fucking dangerous thing. But that final shot of him when they're on the TV show, they're on the couch. And then they're like, we're going to be parents. And the talk show's like, yay, and comes over and hugs her. And then he's just like kind of looking down.
Yeah, he's just sitting there like so fuck.
Like so dejected. Like, I am so trapped in this world.
Yes.
And the
for
movie,
the rest of his days.
And the movie ends there.
Yeah.
That's the ending. That's the ending of the movie. I wonder how the book ended. What would have been different?
Only movie to find out, Chris. Got to read the book.
Yeah, I'm going to have to read that damn book. Do a little bit of comparing and contrasting. Yeah, dude, that movie is insane.
Dude, it was just twist after turn after holy fuck moment after holy fuck moment after... Yeah. Oh.
And the music is so, like, throbbing and... Boom, boom, boom,
boom, well, it's, boom, it's that Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's so perfect. And it's, you know, the movie itself, it's the material is very pulpy, B-movie type stuff, but made with, like, an A-movie sensibility.
Oh, good Lord.
It's kind of like a RoboCop type of deal, mm-hmm. you know, where anyone else made that movie, it would have been so bad. But because the right people made it...
It was awesome.
It's a great, great, great movie. Awesome movie. And yeah. Yeah, no, so don't get married. Right. Demon of movie. Don't get married.
Yeah. Yeah. Or man, if you do, be prepared for some shit. Apparently,
be prepared for some
like you know
shit.
Being framed for murder and
watching them prenups. Yo,
having people come back that aren't dead and what the fuck?
Yeah. Check your credit card statements thoroughly.
Oh yeah, you need to be on top of your credit.
Be on top of your
and do not ever sign anything without reading it.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
I don't care if your wife hands it to you and you fucking trust her. You read that shit.
Read it carefully and ask why.
Please do.
For reals, yo. For reals. Crazy movie. Crazy good stuff. Definitely enjoyed it, right?
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
So there you
100%.
Go. 100%. So anything else? Anything else you want to bring up? Anything you remember that stuck out to you that happened in the movie? Little moments here or there? Or just want to make sure we covered our bases.
I mean, yeah. I think we went over just about everything.
Went over the whole story there.
I mean, we know we left. There is some little stuff that we.
Oh yeah, of course there are gonna be little things. We're not here with 100% total perfect recall.
Exactly.
You know? Come on, I didn't take notes.
But yeah, no, I think we're good.
Maybe I should start taking notes during.
Perchance. Maybe you have to watch the movies twice. Then one to watch, one to take notes.
No, people a lot of times they watch and take. You gotta get one of them pens that lights up when you push down on it. You know, so because that doesn't annoy people. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the spoiler episode goodness. If you have not yet checked out episode 91, please do so. If you have, thank you. All right, Drew, thanks.
You're very welcome, sir.
All right, man, here we go.